I apologize, I don't have enough copies. We're up to Ois Ches. Hilcha Shabbos Klal Samach Beis is on page Tov Kuf Vav. Ois Halacha Ches. So if you don't have, don't worry, just a few lines. You can listen, you can just listen Bal Peh, and we'll surely get up to the next page. Halacha Ches is V'chein Nachri Shalikeit Asavim Afilu B'shvil Yisrael In Hu B'inyin Shabahim Ochoisu Yechol Eilech Shal Yasva Lecha Menal Mechubar Mutu Loima Lanachri Shiyach Yilein Lomhemto Im Ein Lomal Le'echol. Okay, this is a question that's not very relevant to this man hazeh, but you never know. All the concepts are true. The goyim would cut grain, aspasta, for the animals. Animals also need to eat on Shabbos. So if you do not prepare food for the animals, there's an iser deraisa to cut the grain from the ground in order to feed the animals. What happens if a goy? Now, what about sending out your animals into the field to eat? If the animals go out into the fields to eat, the animals are going to eat from... They do it themselves. They're doing the malacha themselves. I'm sending my animals are hungry, so gesund to hate. I tell my animal, have a nice day. I open up the gate, and the animal goes out into the field, and the animal eats. But when the animal is eating, he's being over, and the animal is doing an iser deraisa. He's being over the iser deraisa of kitzira. He's pulling the grain out of the ground. So the animal is not mechuyav in tayag mitzvos. Okay, when was the last time the animals were chayiv? So you'll ask, oh, but an animal, but you're chayiv in shvisas behemtoi. Is there not a halacha that a person will chayiv to make sure that his animals do not do malacha on Shabbos? That only applies, that doesn't apply to eating. I don't know the details, but it does not apply to eating. It only applies to giving your animal, to renting out your animal, or to having a guy or anyone use your livestock for malacha. That is a prohibition for animals. People make a mistake, they ask the question, what about electronic devices? Are you allowed to recharge your shaver, have your shvisas kelim? No such thing. There's no prohibition of shvisas kelim on Shabbos. There's a pro-isser de-oirais l'man yinuach behemtichot, the ferish and the naseris adibros, that your animals, your living creatures, are not allowed to do melacha for you, or be a source of income for you on the Shabbos. If you have a cow, or you have an ox, and it does malacha, it participates in a bullfight in Rome, and you rent out the animal for this activity. It's usur if it does malacha. Is it doing malacha? I don't know if that's called malacha, but if it's doing real malacha, pulling a plow or carrying a burden of more than the tchum or carrying on Shabbos, it is an iser de oiraisa. It's part of the aseres hadibros. If the animal is doing something for you, or is doing something for someone else, which you will gain from, you will earn money from. But if the animal is doing malacha for itself, it's hungry and wants to eat, and in the process it is mechalal Shabbos by cutting from the ground, that is not included in the iser deraisa l'man yenuach behemtecha. You don't have to prevent your animals from doing malacha when it eats. When it comes to utensils that have no life to them, electronical devices, robots, or you name it, any artificial intelligence that exists in this world, any type of utensil that does malacha, the robot sees you're not home, so it decides to clean the floor, decides to paint the house for you. The robot does all of these nice things for you. Is this an iser deraisa of shvisas behemtoi? It has intelligence. It has even more intelligence than an animal. Sorry, nice try, no cigar. That's not called the iser deraisa of shvisas
and what? You have a leasing company and you lease out cars and someone drives a car on Shabbos.
Right, so then you get that right. So there's no iser deraisa as far as there's a shaila of schar Shabbos.
Right.
That's another shaila. But as far as the prohibition of shvisas behemtoi, there's a distinction between a living creature and an object. An object that does malacha, that's not part of the prohibition.
So a water sprinkling system, I mean, what do they mean?
Technically speaking, yes. Technically speaking, a water sprinkler system is permitted. There's another issue of avsha milsa. Avsha milsa means it makes a lot of noise. Now, a sprinkler doesn't make a lot of noise. It doesn't make any noise, but the concept is a concept which applies not just to making noise, but it's done bifar hesya. Are you on Shabbos allowed to stand with your garden hose and water? It's an iser d'oraisa l'chol hadeis to stand with the planting. So I'm not doing it. I have a machine doing it. I have a sprinkler system that's doing it for me. But can I do this myself? No. A machine is doing it for me. Is this Shabbos dik? Is this in the spirit of Shabbos? No, definitely not. Well, Well, that's not, because it's a malacha is taking place. If it will be done in your private home when no one's watching, and it's quiet, and there's no other time it has to be done, then in many situations, yes.
A dishwasher,
you put on a timer, and you just put the dishes in, and then it washes. Okay, they're different. It's not so simple.
The problem with that is the noise.
That's right, mamish noise. But it's something that's done on your front lawn, and people are walking to shul on Shabbos, and the sprinkler is watering the lawn. That's not right. That's something that's being done in public. Something which is usher for you to do be your diet. What? So some are matter. Some indeed are matter if the sprinkler is, because if you're not going to water the grass on a hot summer day, it's going to dry up. You pay a lot of money to have these exotic flowers and this and that, and if it's not watered, it's going to dry up. So in Echadam, there are places that are matter. But others say it's not, because you come in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, oh look, it's all wet over here. Right? You walk in the morning. I used to go to shoots in this talk. I know someone, and they have a sprinkler system, and it's only on the middle of the night. Every night it's on the middle of the night. And then you go to shul, you go to early minyan, so I go 7 o'clock, Ashkar minyan, and then you pass at 6:30 in the morning, so it's already off. But you see the whole area soaking wet. Maybe. So right away, so that can be, according
maybe
to some,
rained.
What?
Maybe it rained.
It didn't rain. You know, how come no one else is wet?
Oh, yeah.
So this is what's called in halacha, avsha milsa. It's something which is public. Things which make noise, that's the worst. Things which make a lot of noise, like you said, vacuuming. Are you allowed to have a non-Jew vacuum? Let's say they have an event, the caterer. So you have a kiddush, and now they're going to set up. Now they're going to set up for lunch. You have a simcha, and they have a beautiful kiddush, and the family's sticking around to stay for lunch, and you have 25 guests for lunch. And they're working their heads off to clean out the room, to prepare. And the things spill, it's very dirty. So the person who worked, the custodian of the shul, of the facility, takes out the vacuum cleaner and starts vacuuming. And it's done in the hotels all the time, right? In the hotels, they have kiddush, they set up. That is usher. That's what it says in all the books. what do they do or not? I don't know what they do. But it's that vacuuming which makes a lot of noise. Okay, everyone here is the vacuum cleaner. They don't have quite vacuum cleaners yet. Everyone hears the noise.
What if you take the island to a different room and they won't hear the vacuum?
They're going to hear it. A vacuum cleaner, you're always going to hear it. It's in a chanan. If you have a situation where you really contain the problem, in a chanan, that. But it's very weird. It's very weird. Such a case.
You exchange the inconvenience of hearing 5 minutes. I'm not thinking that
it doesn't matter.
2 hours.
It doesn't matter. Chil Shabbos. You're right. It doesn't matter. Chil Shabbos. This is Chil Shabbos. Who's doing it? A guy is doing it. But a guy is doing it for me. He's not doing it for himself. The guy is doing this for me. It's my simcha. He's doing this for me. He's making the preparations. He's doing it on my behalf. And so it's one thing. There's still hate. So I didn't tell him to do it. He did it for me. He did it for Tzibor. There are a lot of things you can combine. A lot of that we're discussing with something like him. But here's a problem in this type of situation where it's public knowledge that Chil Shabbos is taking place on behalf of a person or a group of people. That creates an issue which may override other factors which otherwise would permit a guy to do malach, or permit at least you to benefit from the malach that's being done by the guy. So going back over here, we have this issue of shvisas pehemta. It does not apply to when the animal is doing it for its own benefit, and the benefit of the animal is eating. Now, the guy comes along and does me the favor, instead of the animal going out into the field, which may involve a sakana, animal may not come home. Who knows, it'll get lost. Doesn't have a GPS. It may get lost, or the animal, maybe it's cold, it gets sick, whatever. So the guy goes and he cuts down the grain, he does a malacha deraisa for me, for my animal, and he brings the food to my home, and he puts it in the trough for the animal to eat. Okay, this was an ancient question, but I'm sure you can find applications of these concepts today. So what is the halacha? So you have to be one more time the words, I did it for the Jew, he's not doing it for himself. Yeah. Now here's the condition, we had this before, I didn't thank you, but no thank you. If you would not have done this for me, it wouldn't have been a big deal, because I can send out my animals. I don't need you to bring the food into me. I can send out the animals, they can eat themselves. If that's talk of the situation, mutter, so here he says, not only, so you're not going to tell him to cut the grain, you're not going to tell him. But once he already brought the grain, he brought it to you already, so mutter loy malanach v'shachilena lebehemtoi im ein lo mal le'echol you're allowed to go tell them, okay, you brought it already. Once you brought it ready, give it to the animals. Let's say the animal is out of water. So this is the Rabbanan. A bar is a Rishus Hayachit. The area, the landing area, the open area where he's going to carry the Carmelis. That's a Yisud Rabbanan. Are you allowed to tell the guy to do it lechatchila? Yes. Mishum tsar balei chayim. So we have two new Yisud here. When they're dealing with tsar balei chayim, and it's an Yisud de Rabbanan, your Amiru la'akum is lifted. Another head to Amiru la'akum. And that applies to the pets. There's a very, very common shiloh. People have pets, people have dogs in this neighborhood. There are so many dogs, it's unbelievable. There are people who have dogs, a lot of religious people also have dogs, whatever it is. So you're getting involved in a lot of shilohs, and one of the shilohs is, let's say you don't have enough dog food. You run out on Shabbos. Lo and behold, I don't have enough food for my animal, my next door neighbor. They have a nice supply. Can I ask a guy, but I'm in a place, let's assume there's no Erev, let's make that assumption. Okay, there's no Erev. Am I allowed to ask a guy to bring from the neighbor? You bring from the neighbor food for my dog. My dog is hungry. He's hungry. It's tsar balei chayim. So the answer is yes. The answer is, when you deal with tsar balei chayim, you're allowed to have a guy do a malacha, at least the malacha d'rabbanan. So if, okay, you have to deal with what exactly is the malacha, what is the malacha, the rice d'rabbanan, but there is such a heter. Avalav hachi, osur, it's osur, b'davka pam achas b'yayim. Now feeding an animal, giving an animal, drink an animal does not need to eat more than once. We humans, we need to eat the whole day. Multiple times a day. But animals only have to eat once a day. Another example is a very problem in Eretz Yisrael, and that is milking cows. And the cow, you don't milk the cow, it's in a lot of pain. So are you allowed to have Goyim milk the cow for you? So the answer is yes. Tsar Balechai. What did this year? This year was a nightmare for Eretz Yisrael. They're not used to having a 2-day Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. But this year was a 3-day Yom Tov, 2 days Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos. So for the milk industry, this is the biggest nightmare in the world. Because everything is owned by Jews. Everything in Eretz Yisrael is owned by Jews. And the cows are producing milk. They're in pain. The cows are accustomed to having milk very, very often. And you're not allowed to milk a cow on Shabbos. It's a malacha deraisa, I believe, right? The milk a cow? Mafarik. It's a malacha deraisa. So a Jew is not allowed.
The milk has to go onto the ground?
What?
The milk has to be spilled the milk, onto the ground?
I don't know the details. I don't know the details, but it's a very, very big problem in Eretz Yisrael. On a 3-day Yom Tov, it's a big problem around Shabbos in general. What do you do on Shabbos? Most of the milk is non-Jewish milk. Yeah, Kichol Yisrael, you have someone that's... Okay, that's another story. How it could be a non-Jewish owner and still be called Kichol Yisrael. I put that aside. But Eretz Yisrael, it's a real problem because everything is done and run by Jews for kashrus reasons. And you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. And then when you have a 3-day Yom Tov, what do you do? So there's definitely Tsar Balei Chayim. And there are techniques that they have employed in all of these big factories, whatever you want to call them, to milk the cows on Shabbos. I once read up on it. It's very, very interesting. It's done by machines. It's done by machines where it's like even done automatically. What to do with the milk? Fine, whatever it is. Halacha test.
In the meat industry, it's a problem on a 3-day Yom Tov also, because a lot of places won't take in meat Erev Yom Tov because they don't
spoil.
Get a chance to kosher it Erev Yom Tov.
Spoil.
It's a short day, so you have to soak it. But if it's going to be a 3-day Yom Tov, how do you end up...
72 hours.
So what some places do, they have somebody come in just to change the water on Yom Tov.
A guy comes in to change the water on Yom Tov.
Not always a guy.
A Jew comes in.
Yeah.
So is that a problem, halacha? Jew changing the water?
They do. They wouldn't have a guy.
Okay, so these are big issues. Obviously, all these create very complex issues in halacha. We need some mumchim. We bring people to tell us what goes on.
Ship stuff.
Yeah.
I had a big argument one time in the factory there, and the Rebbe came in and he agreed with me that time. I mean, if I send stuff out, let's say late Thursday or Friday, to make sure to send it out freight collected, not prepaid, because then the guy is working for me until it gets
Schar Shabbos. That's Schar Shabbos.
Yeah, but he's my driver until it gets to the place. It's like this, if I send the freight collect, then it's out of my hands the minute it gets to the airport.
Halacha test, kay inching shaila, mutalam lamach little nair dolik vlil chimo. We have to go down to the basement, it's dark. I want to get some wine in the basement. Can you come with me? And so the guy takes a flashlight. Oh, it was a flashlight. So he's doing, let's say, it's an incandescent flashlight. They still make those things? I don't know. So that can, is that a shal deraisa? It gets hot enough, incandescent bulb, and the flashlight batteries?
Well,
yeah?
Most of them are LEDs.
Now, right, LEDs. So over here, so let's say he takes a mamsh, a real Neri, lights a torch. So he's doing mulacha. Deraisa, so he's doing, he's helping you. So here, the anal kutl, so first of all, carrying the Neri Shabbat smokes. What?
He's helping himself.
Oh, that's what it says. The Nachi needs it for himself. Uh-huh. Why is he going with you? Why is he going because of you? So it's a little bit, it's not really clear what he means over here. Come with me. Take a ner doilek, take a ner, and come with me. That's not cool that he's doing the malacha for me, because since I'm telling you, coming with me, and you anyway need a light for yourself, so it's indirect. That's what it seems to be saying is I want you to come with me. It just so happens that you can't go unless you light a candle so you can see where you're going. So it seems to be indirect. And as far as muksa that we learned yesterday, that muksa in many not all instances, but in some instances, the laws of amira la'akum in regard to muksa are relaxed. There's so many leniencies in amira la'akum. There's a much lower standard for muksa, tsar bali chayim, achol l'shem by sakana, cold, and he was going to say now, cold and heat, tsarich hefsid, and the tsarich tzibur, and the tsarich mitzvah. I listed off already for you, I think six or seven different areas where a person can be linked with regard to amira la'akha. Now you go, this is a very common halacha, but Aratzah is Hakara is
Mutu. It doesn't have to be Shus to Shus. One Shus is enough.
Yes, one Shus is enough, right? One Shus. Well, and that's not, I take that back, and that's not so clear, because he did mention that it's better in some of the instances, always better to do it Shus to Shus. It's always better to do it, Shus to Shus means this is the Rabbana.
Right.
And then there's an era, there's another concept which I thought about, you touched was Amira li Amira. When you're really desperate, when you really desperate, you will for malacha that's really asr, but you really need to do it. So you tell one guy to tell another guy.
Oh, there's such a thing.
Such a thing. Amira li amira. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm telling you to tell someone else to do it. So somehow in that instance, you are removing yourself from the shlichus, from the, what was it? It's shlichus, and it's the daber davar. Why are you not allowed to tell a guy to do something for you on Shabbos? Number one, he's my agent. Number two, you're not allowed to talk like that on Shabbos. The Torah says you're not allowed to do malacha. Same way you're not allowed to do malacha, you're not allowed to talk about doing malacha. I instruct the guy to do malacha, I'm in violation of a daber davar. My dibur on Shabbos has to be different. I'm not the one who told you to do malacha. I told you to do a malacha, but then nothing resulted from that. You told someone else to do malacha. So you're one step removed from the violation of the daber davar. If I make you a shliach, can an agent appoint another agent? Not necessarily. The chlal is no din shlichus by a guy. The whole chumrah that is saying that a guy is my agent is a very big chumrah. Kein torinu gam atem ma'atem b'nei bris af shluchechem b'nei bris. So there's really no din shlichus by a guy. This that amira la'akum is also because the guy becomes our agent is a very extreme chumrah. To say there's shlichus by a non-Jew. And now to go say that a shliach is ois a shliach, that's also machlokes, if a shliach is ois a shliach. So it's really two kulos. There's no shliach by a guy, and shliach ois a shliach by a guy, even the ad kedei kach. So that's why amira li amira is a technique when you're extremely desperate to accomplish what would otherwise be forbidden. Halacha yud be'arotzos.
Does it have been considered a shliach?
What is a guy generally? No. Halacha l'maisa, no. I believe not.
Well, yes, and it went to get Rivka, wasn't that a...
Eliezer is before Matan Torah. It's before Matan Torah, and maybe Eliezer was Jewish. Eliezer L'chora was Megayer, no?
Yeah, but
as a nefesh asher osu b'choron. If not Eliezer, then who? Doile umashka mitorosoy shel rabbi. As a nefesh, there's no concept of real gayrus anyway before Matan
Torah. Right.
No, a nefesh asher osu b'choron. Eliezer was the top, right?
But he was cursed.
He was only cursed in the beginning. Later, he became a baruch. Boy, baruch Hashem.
After he finished the shlichus.
There's a difference of opinion of Shmuel Ochan.
Okay, you can't bring a rai Eliezer before Matan Torah. You can't. That's all my agada.
His daughter was.
Her daughter. He wanted the daughter, so
she
won.
She was not eligible. So
now wasn't eligible. We're not preferred.
You didn't want it, right?
Not preferred. Ulai, Eli, there was potential. If he could not find someone else, she was the backup. She was the backup shidduch.
You didn't like the music.
It didn't work out. You come. You're cursed. Ani baruch v'yato oror v'ein oror medabek biboruch. The same as far. Why does Rashi say v'ein oror medabek biboruch? It should say v'ein boruch medabek biorur. So the answer is no. The hashkacha process has always shown this to be true. Is that when you have a baruch and you have a person together oror. And sometimes the baruch, he wants the shidduch. He has no choice. There's no one else available at the time. He wants to marry off his child. Okay, even though this is not the ideal shidduch, this is not in my league, I have to get moving, you know? I got to get married. So I'm asking to the shidduch. So he makes contact with the person that he really doesn't want to mishadech. I want to mishadech with you. So that person should be flattered, should go out of his mind. Wow, this holy man wants to be mashanach with me? I don't want to be mashanach with you. It's always the aror that doesn't want the baruch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaHashkocha Pratas, more often than not, it's the aror that decides not, even though it would be to his great benefit, I should connect myself to the baruch. And that's a chiddush. What Rashi says in Staki, you see that in real life as well. Halacha yud baratzas hakaras mutu loy malanachu lehavir medura lohachim habayis mamisha malacha de oraisa. You're telling him to do eish. There's no end, and it says no remozim. No remozim here. Don't, it's cold. It's hot. You just say, can you light up the fire? Why? The hakoil choilin eitzel sina. Everyone is in the category of a choilin. So I talked to Moshe Feinstein. I was browsing in the bookstore. Two fascinating volumes of the Hanhogis of Moshe Feinstein. Order range according to the parash as Hashavua Moadim and other inyanim. A whole new thing. Really, really very interesting things that I don't think have ever appeared before. And I was browsing, and there was a mice where Rav Moshe went once a week to Staten Island to say a shir. Rav Moshe was primarily located in MTJ and Lower East Side, and during this tekufa, whenever the story was, he went to Staten Island and he started to say a shir klali once a week. He didn't come 1 week. And the next week he came, so they asked him, how come you didn't come? He says, you know why? Because I went to a chasna, it was the Masad de Kedushin, and we were inside. It was a very fancy chasna, and they were having the chuppah outdoors. And I was the Messiah there at Kiddushin, and maybe I was a little bit late, and I was in there, and I would go outside, and it was cold, it was a winter day. And they had the chuppah outside, and I realized that if I'm going to have to get my coat, I checked in my coat, I'm going to delay for them the whole chasna. It'll take 10 more minutes, everyone's going to linger around, they're going to wait. So I decided, you know what, I'll go without my coat. I'll survive for a few minutes to be Messiah the Kiddushin. So I went out without my coat, and guess what happened? I got a cold, and I was out a week. Yeah. Out a week. From that I learned, never go outside without a coat. Even if you're the Masada of Kiddushin and the whole Tzibur is waiting for you, your health casts Kedima. Very interesting story. Certainly when you have children at home, okay, we had this mice, I remember many years ago, our boiler broke in the middle of the freezing cold winter. Okay, the boiler kaput. It was bitter, bitter cold. This must have been at least 20 years ago. Bitter cold. So my parents, my mother was scrambling what to do. And it was my parents, who was living at home, just probably myself, my parents, maybe my sister. And we weren't children, but it was freezing. So right away, this happens often to break. So we have the electric heaters, we take them out of the storage. You take out the electric heaters, 2-3 rooms are well insulated, and you just live, you just keep yourself in those 2-3 rooms with the electric heaters until the boiler gets fixed. But this time, it wasn't a matter of getting fixed, it was a matter of replacing the boiler. Okay, Drishus v'chakiris, plumber, azoy, as you all know what goes on. Finally, we got a great plumber. Okay, he's going to do it, freezing cold, he's going to do it tomorrow. He's going to get the boiler, bring in his whole crew. It'll take two, three days. It'll be done. Remember, the snow is this high. All of a sudden, the next day doesn't show. The next day, they call content. What happened? So finally, my mother got a hold of me, said to him, I'll tell you what happened. I went to the store, I bought the boiler. The boiler was in the truck. We were bringing the boiler to your house. I got a call from someone. There's a family. They have 8-9 little children in a house just like yours. Their boiler's kaput, went dead. I said to myself, listen, and these are little children, it's an emergency. So I took your boiler that I bought for you, and I took my whole crew, and I meant to call you and apologize. It's an emergency. They have little children. They have a baby, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old. Listen, this is sakana for them. Mamash sakonis nefashis for them. So I took your boiler, and I took my crew, and I went straight to their house, and we did it for them, and now we delayed by 2 days. I'm on the way to you. Okay, was it ethical what he did? I don't know, whatever. But like you say, you know, they have little children. Yes. I'm sorry, pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, it's your boiler. You didn't pay me yet. You have electric heaters in your house, in the few rooms. You'll survive another 2 days. This pikuach nefesh mamish, that's what I did. And that's what he says over here. He says over here, especially dealing with little children. Then you should be at least a gedol. If they can put on a sweater, it's not the best idea.
What do you mean,
Roy-Zoyl Litzarach
Gedol?
Let's say there are no small children. There are adults. Right. And it's 60 degrees.
Awesome.
So you like it to be nice and toasty, 68 degrees. So you want to call the guy to turn on the heat. You can survive, put on a sweater for a few more hours till Shabbos, so nothing's going to happen to you. So therefore, the chatchili, you should be careful. But guess what? He acknowledges that the oilam, when it even comes to one temperature, the oilam lohagin hete, the oilam is very makel. They call in the guy, even if it's one temperature off, it's not mamish perfect. Everyone is so super sensitive. Now, by the way, he does not make any mention of air conditioning. But Kamat, all the places that I've seen say there's also no difference bizman as them when it comes to air conditioning. If it's very, very hot today, we're spoiled, we're accustomed to living with a certain comfort, and if it's 80 degrees, people go out of their mind. They go out of their mind. So they say when it comes to heat, air conditioning, they say it's the same thing. That's what I've seen. I can't give you a chapter and verse, but even though all the Paiskim don't mention air conditioning, that's because all the Paiskim didn't exist. Rav Moshe Beshita would not use air conditioning. Whenever it was up to him, he Beshita did not use air conditioning.
Well, he held up
Shemilson. But even during the weekday. That was time. Even during the week there, Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he learned in 90 degree heat in this apartment, he did not want air conditioning.
Why?
Because once I get used to the comfort of air conditioning, what if it breaks? Definitely those days it broke very often. It was a very big luxury to have an air conditioner. Didn't always work.
No, in those days on the Lower East Side, it wasn't really wired yet. And every time, right before Shabbos, the whole block went dark.
Oh, right. Well, also the air conditioner was shvach. I remember my parents, they had one air conditioner in the bedroom, it barely worked, if it worked all together. Whatever. It was, so he said, I'm going to get used to it even a little bit, and then it's not going to work. I'm afraid, as we said, I'm not going to be able to operate 100%, top my game.
Wow.
So he did not want to get used to it. He never had it in his youth. Now, when he was 70, 80 years old, now's not the time to start new creature comforts. So he never held from air conditioning. The oil of Nahag, but Bizman is that we're not accustomed to this. Therefore, the Paiskim all say that you can ask a guy to come into your home and to turn on the air conditioner if you're uncomfortable, even a small amount. That's what it appears. That is what the Minig Olam is. We're very, very sensitive to this. I think we're probably more sensitive today to air conditioning than we are to heat. People, that's what I might perceive. When it's cold, people somehow they survive. When it's hot, people go out of their mind. They literally go out of their mind.
You could go under the covers.
I noticed I went to a similar...
When you're cold, you could put on the next...
No sweater. When
you're
hot. I noticed I went to a Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Hoshana Rabbah. If you remember Hoshana Rabbah, it was very hot at night. The night of Hoshana Rabbah. It was like probably 70, 80 degrees. And these all very young people. And this is, I go every year to this group of people, to this Simchas Beis HaShoeva. I'm part of that chevra there. And they're all young people. And it's normally very lebedic. It's very lebedic. And it was not. It's a very big sukkah. And everyone was very like subdued. And why are you so subdued? And then the person who spoke says, I know you're all very hot. And then it hit me. That's why everyone here is so subdued, because it was really hot. It was probably in the sukkah. You know, a lot of people there must have been 80 degrees, 80, 85 degrees. Who knows? It was really hot. A lot of people. And the heat really changed the entire frame of mind, the whole environment. You see firsthand that people, when they're in a different heat, an environment where it's very hot, operate in an entirely different way, and that is called in halacha your chayla, and you're allowed to explicitly, if necessary, obviously if you can go ask a guy, he's in the chremes, whatever, b'shas hadchak, you can go ask a guy to turn on the air conditioning and turn off, but of course the chatchila should have thermostats and have the clocks, the chul l'chul, this is only after that.
This is for seniors, older men, they have the same as infants.
Of course.
When it comes to cold.
Now this thing, now they go tell them, you know, why don't you get the heat going from Mitzvah Shabbos? Right now there's no one here, we're having Malam Malka. So you tell the guy, you know, there's no one in the home there, but right after Shabbos over Malam Malka, and we want it to be nice and toasty when we all come here. So can you turn on the heat now? That is forbidden. The only time Chazal matter you to tell the guy to turn on the fire or to turn on the air conditioning is only when it's kroiva. Now, it's immediate. But to tell a guy now to do something in advance for Mitzvah Shabbos, even though I'm going to need a Mitzvah Shabbos, I'm going to be cold and be hot, that already is stretching.
What about just before skiing?
It seems not. Right now, it's still... No, that's... Kreva means nap. You're going to benefit from on Shabbos itself. If you're going to do a malach on Shabbos with 1 minute to go, and the only benefit will be after Shabbos, that, he says, is Osir. Avaloi litzorech mocha. Oh, what are you going to do with Shabbos? It's going to be cold. So don't go there. The same way, you wherever you are, you're comfortable over here. You're stuck. That far, you have to always remember, it's not a lechatchila ever to tell a guy to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. It's not like chutra. When it comes to like bris, chil Shabbos, carbon. Is it dechuya or is it chutra? It comes to being a carbon on Shabbos. So do you say, really it's chil Shabbos? No, what can you do? Dechuya. No, there is no Shabbos. When it comes to bringing karbanos, like Shabbos that never existed.
Only karbanos tibet.
Well, it's chutra. When it comes to amir l'akum, there's no such thing as chutra. Every single time you tell a guy do a malacha for you on Shabbos, you're in the category of dechuya. It's Shabbos. This chil Shabbos. It's just that. No, the halacha allows for us in this situation to be mechal Shabbos. That's not a good place to be. That's not a good place to be. More often than not, you have no choice. That's the way life is. You have no choice. You have cholim, zakenim, children, such many situations. But there's no such thing in halacha chutra. There's no Shabbos in regard to this approach to letting a guy do for you a malacha. Shabbos doesn't exist. When you look at Amir Liakim from that perspective, it changes everything. It's always in the category of dechuya. So at the end, he does come out with the kula. I didn't realize he said this, I didn't pay attention when I prepared, but he goes on to say that if some want to say, even that's mutter for Mitzvah Shabbos, even though it's not a shvus dekoyva. It's not the benefit is not now. It's going to be later on. There's grounds to be leaned as well. We're going to stop over here, take a very short break.